from WIPR and PRX.
It's Out of the Blocks.
One city block.
Everybody's story.
Everybody's story.
Everybody's story.
Everybody's story.
We are on the very northern tip of the city. I mean, you can literally see the county out of my office window.
It's got a nice, quiet vibe to it.
You don't feel like you're in the city when you're here.
You never hear sirens or anything like that.
It's quaint. It feels like you're going back in time a little bit.
Mount Washington is the original rich people neighborhood of Baltimore.
I always say Mount Washington is like a hub. People come in here, they meet, greet, eat, and then head different directions, but they go together. They get on the train and head downtown. They get an Uber and go to a football game, dispersed to other places, and they're back here later in the night.
From producers Aaron Hankin and Wendell Patrick.
Out of the Blocks.
1600 Celebrate.
Right after this.
Consistency is key, and don't let nobody else tell you different. You know, do what you love to do, because if you don't, you're gonna be miserable, and that's not what life is about. Vicente Hayward Jr., as people know. Well, ABC Services is not only just valet, but it's multi-services to different companies across Maryland. The job is more so valet and also just helping our customer and being as nice as possible and make sure they have the best experience as possible.
So today you're posted up here at DK Salon, and I see you coming out here, parking the cars of the ladies who are coming in to get their salon treatments.
Yeah, that's a daily, you know. I don't want to say elderly, but the older women, that we make sure we take care of the nice cars and everything.
They drive some nice cars, huh?
Yeah, BMWs, Benzes, all the top notch.
Tell me about your life when you're not valeting cars. What do you got going on?
I don't only have one thing going on. I like to have a busy schedule. I have my own clothing business called Not the Same Clothing. I've been doing tattoos for about over 5 years now. My love of art is my strive for most of what I do, and I just have a creativity to do a lot of different things.
So you have these various artistic enterprises going on, and working as a valet, I guess, is flexible. It helps pay the bills.
Yeah, I recently just moved into my apartment, so, you know, it just pays the rent. But other than that, on my free time, I'm either doing mass printing for either other companies or making my own clothes, sewing it from scratch, and so on and so on.
Talk about this neighborhood, this little neck of the woods. It's its own little weird spot. Talk about the vibe of life out here and just kind of like the people that are around here.
Money. lots and lots of money. I drove my first Maserati down here, so that's why I say money.
What do you think has been your proudest accomplishment so far in life?
Sticking with my business. Because the same thing as marriage, the first about 5 or 7 years is the hardest. So I just got over my rough patch of my first couple years of my business, and I'm on a slow but steady pace on, you know, being that $1 million, $1 billion company.
Get a Maserati of your own.
Lamborghini. And here as we see, I have a ride pulling up. I'll be right back.
I was born and raised in Brussels, Belgium. A Baltimore boy or young man is the one that convinced me 44 years ago to come over here. And I've been here ever since. My name is Marie Paul, and I'm here at DK Salon in my Washington village. We provide cuts, blow dries, color, waxings, facials, makeup services, fake eyelashes, anything to make you feel like a beauty.
Tell me about this young man who stole your heart and convinced you to come to Baltimore. You don't have to say his name, but tell me.
My now ex-husband.
He's now your ex-husband.
But we're still very, very friendly. When we see each other, it's all good. So yes, he is originally from Towson, and he was floundering in Europe at the time. So I met him in Brussels. He was bartending at a place called the Great American Disaster. And he was from here. He eventually came back. I was supposed to come and visit. We were supposed to get a Winnebago and go cross country and visit California, then go back to Europe. And it never happened. Instead, we got furniture at Levitt's. So there was the credit, so we couldn't leave. So that was that.
I see you taking very good care of the women that come in here. You just put the jacket over the shoulders of the lady on her way out. You make people feel special when they come in here, I can tell.
Well, the customers are special. And when they're so nice themselves, it's just easy to take care of them and make them feel good. And they make us feel good. So it's vice versa. I have customers I've been doing for 40-some years, where I actually did the mothers, the grandmothers, the children, the brothers, etc. I've been invited to weddings, to bar mitzvahs, to funerals, unfortunately. It's a close relationship because you touch the person, you do their hair, you touch them. So it's intimate and you spend a lot of time one-on-one with the person. So it creates a bond. And then if they refer their family or their friends to you, you then know the whole family, you know the whole history. This is my lovely station. I just moved, I just got a bigger station. I'm very happy, I have a window behind me, plenty of space, and all the products and implements I need to do my work.
You know your consigner number, hun?
Not off the top.
That's okay. That's okay. I'll find you.
Okay.
I'll call you back. Right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Well, it all began when I lost my job as a general manager to commercial properties for 17 years. I needed a little break from that high-pressure, demanding job managing multi-million dollar properties and doing projections for 10 years out. This was something fun and what I wanted to do all my life, and not realizing that I could actually make the dream come true. And it's changed me where I feel more relaxed, and I've become a different person, and actually I've become myself. Marianne Grews, La Chic Boutique, 1501 Sawgrave Avenue in the Village of Mount Washington, Baltimore, Maryland, 21209. Well, we're putting out the mannequins. Just to attract the people that are coming.
So these mannequins are good advertisement. You can dress them up in a different outfit every day and put them out here.
My fashionista, Lisa, actually dresses these to the nine, like she dresses people that come in here to the nine. She'll put them in outfits that they never thought that they could wear. And they'll walk out of them because they love her style.
I try to like enhance the actual appearance of them on a weekly basis so that it keeps them updated and letting people know that we have new consignment outfits in the store. So a lot of people find a lot of good treasures in here.
And who's this at the door, by the way?
This is our greeter. This is my wonderful and pleasant little Sammy.
What kind of a dog is Sammy, and what's he wearing today?
Well, Sammy is, like I said, our greeter. So he has on a tuxedo, but it's from the Western style because it's got a red plaid. It's a vest, and he is a Shih Tzu and Chihuahua mix. Sammy is now our actual mascot. Technically, we have now just reached 2,980 consignment people who bring their merchandise in here. Let's just put it like this. I have dresses, trousers, cocktail dresses, tank tops, accessories,
shoes,
necklaces, hats,
earrings,
sunglasses,
rings,
amazing
spaghetti straps,
evening bags,
work blouses,
booty boots
out of snakeskin,
Gucci,
Prada,
Louis Vuitton,
Coach.
I put love on every single item in this entire store. You can't say that I haven't touched everything in the store, because I have.
I get the sense that some of the ladies who come in here have some serious coin to drop. You get some heavy-duty shoppers in here?
Yeah, I mean, I have women who, like, literally come to the store for the first time. They pull everything, they try things on, and they come to the counter, and then they look at what they actually have done. The damage sometimes can be pretty spectacular. It's complimentary to the store because, obviously, you know, we feel good that we had everything that this particular lady was looking for, and we have a layaway program where it's 30 days, 60 days, or 90 days, and it helps them to actually have a lot of fun and making a bigger purchase.
I leave all the fashion up to Lisa now. I've known her for over 10 years. When she was in between jobs, she happened to come in the shop to say hi, and I've known her over 10 years. And I said, well, I'm looking for someone. And she started that day. She's been wonderful for the shop ever since she's been here. She is a fashionista, artist, stylist that people will be shocked. She'll just say, just put it on. Just put it. They're like, no, it's not my style. She'll say, just put it on. Let us see. Usually they walk out of the store with it on their bodies. So she is truly a sister to me. And she knows that. I trust her wholeheartedly. And she has my back. And I love her. And I thank her. I'm blessed every day to have you in my life. You're welcome.
I share the same love that she shares for me, and I'm grateful for you.
Grateful for you too, baby.
And I'm extremely appreciative for all that you've put into my life. I appreciate what you've done for Sammy, and Sammy has become very well-mannered and trained just from being in
here.
It's crazy how great he is.
I
mean, he's sitting here.
Somebody opens the door?
He's sitting here with us right now. He's
and
like,
what are we going to be doing? Because I got a new puppy.
Yes.
I got a toy poodle. We are going to breed the dogs together. And have puppies. Is that crazy?
Yes, we'll be grandmas together.
We'll be grandmas together.
It's Out of the Blocks, 1600 Solgrave.
One city block, everybody's story.
Shrimp, catfish, mussels, jumbo lump crab meat. I'm a second away from plate up here. Jackie, how are they doing on those oysters? About ready?
My name is Jeffrey David Burko, and the name of the place here is Ethel's Creole Kitchen.
Cream out the sauce, a little bit of butter. Kyle, looking for backup vegetables.
My business partner, Chef Ed Bloom, trained in New Orleans at Cape Paul's. Good bona fides.
My name is Ed Bloom. I am the chef, co-owner of Ethel's Creole Kitchen, formerly known as Ethel and Ramones.
But we have another chef, our minor partner, Nick Creamer. And Nick was the first employee of the restaurant 25 years ago. I hired him when he was about 12 or 13.
All right, so the mushrooms fettuccine is actually one of the oldest dishes on the menu. That's been here since I was a little kid, actually. Predates Ed even, but then we got a seafood boat going on, sort of our version of the shrimp creole.
My name is Nick Creamer. I cook and manage the place on the day-to-day operations.
Anything that doesn't get done here by Nick gets done by me. Anything that doesn't get done by me gets done by Nick, and we don't have to exchange thoughts about it. We don't have to tell each other because we know. Nick is more than just a chef. He is the bone structure that this entire place is built on.
Put a nice sear on it, give it a little fire-roasted red bell pepper sauce.
After school, I went to Falstaff Middle School before it changed, I guess it became an elementary school, but we'd catch the bus down into Mount Washington Village because most of my friends at the time lived in Mount Washington. And basically, wandering around Mount Washington was sort of aftercare for us, you know. And there were lots of different little pharmacies and stores and things that we'd poke our heads into and kind of be, you know, goofy little teenagers. And the allure of this place was interesting just because of Jeff's personality and his ability to sort of jump out and talk to us. He was one of the few owners of anything in the village who wanted to interact with us. So it brought us in here for, you know, cappuccinos and coffees and goofing around. And then the place was just a little coffee and tea shop. It didn't have any food. And Jeff brought in a guy to start
cooking a couple of dishes, and I figured, yeah, they needed a dishwasher at that point, and it was sort of my in.
Well, Nick, like Ed, they are like sons to me, both of them. Ed turned him into a chef, and as a salesman, I have no problem selling their food.
Can I have a little more basil, please?
So you must know these recipes like the back of your hand at this point, huh?
Yeah, I could cook this stuff with my eyes closed, that's for sure.
We like vintage things, we like minimalist things. We have the zebra dress, zebras and cheetahs, and they're navy and red and white, blue and teal and block colored. We have a jacket here that's red and it's got like 80s graphics on it, and just wear the black miracloth sequin vest. We have things that are like comfort lines, you know, bamboo fabrics, 20 style, roaring 20s fringe beaded dresses. That's really very sexy, and that's really weird, and there's a lot going on. I'm Anastasia. We are at Something Else, 1611 Soulgrave Avenue. It is a clothing store that's been in Mount Washington for 51 years. I moved to Baltimore like 20 years ago, and I kind of ended up here, which is one of the most ridiculous things on earth. I have no idea what Elsie was thinking, because I have really horrible social anxiety. I say the wrong thing. I basically don't know how to talk to people, and I'm okay-ish now, but when she gave me this job, I don't know if she was on drugs or whatever, but yeah, in the beginning, it was pretty rough.
Say who Elsie is and talk about the history of this place.
Well, Elsie was 88. She passed away last year, and she was interested in art. She liked traveling. She got a lot of things from Mexico. She loved Frida Kahlo. And she just had so much crap she was collecting that she decided she should probably open up a store. And I mean, back then, like 51 years ago, it was just like no one had ever seen anything like it. She was often described by some people as like a train wreck. And she would be wearing like, she always wore skirts, very rarely pants, just brightly colored. Her favorite color was red. Colorful jackets, jewelries, Bakelite bracelets, upper arms, white hair kind of in a bob, very proper, would wear a hat. We were in the hospital and she was putting on makeup. She was putting on lipstick. I mean, I just looked over and started laughing. I was like, really? You're doing this now? You're in a hospital bed. Can I be honest? I don't know that she saw anything. I just happened to be here. We kind of entered this weird area where she was aging, and I just was capable. This year, I had to learn to like do everything myself when Elsie passed away. So now all the financial worries and just all those things are all on me. And I don't know. It's just kind of weird because I didn't have to worry about this thing before, and now I do. You know, I guess what I've learned from her inadvertently is that no matter what is going on, you still have a job to get done. It doesn't matter how you're feeling, what you're going through, what's going on with your life, whether or not, you know, whether you're sick, because now that I have to do all this stuff, I sometimes think, God, she wasn't feeling really well at this point, and this got done, and this got done.
There's the old adage in barbecue that if you can't smell the wood or you can't smell the smoke when you go in, it's not really barbecue.
It's white oak. You can tell by the grain of this bark here. It's not a gnarly bark. If you see a real gnarly bark, it's either black oak or red oak. So there's a firebox on the bottom, and the smoke convects and blows through the meat, and then it produces a great flavor. Hi, my name is Matt Piron. I'm the owner of Woodrow's Barbecue. We're located in Mount Washington Village, 1605 Soulgrave Avenue. So this smoker is from Texas. These doors are probably a couple hundred pounds each. The whole unit is about 2,300 pounds, so it's literally a ton. This is our pulled pork.
we just simply dry rub it and smoke it and then pull it. So it's a more of a Texas style than like a Carolina style where they're gonna sauce it after they pull it. It's just, it's really moist and tender all on its own. And then all of our hot sides are here. Our collard greens, our green beans, our cowboy beans, our mac and cheese.
What are you stirring? You got anything on the stove over here?
Yeah, we've got some collard greens going on the stove right now.
These are not vegetarian collard greens.
No, they are not. We start with beef lard that we make ourselves, and we saute some onions in them, and then add a ton of garlic and bacon, and then a lot of chicken stock. So it's a three animal.
A three animal vegetable.
Okay, so this is my office slash area to take a nap while I'm waiting for the briskets to cook. So it's an overnight process. So you get the briskets in about 8 or 9 o'clock, and then about 11, you got to go check the wood. Then about every hour or so, you're just constantly feeding the fire. That's why we're sitting on my cot where I can take a couple naps here or there. It's a crazy amount of hours. So I was a pharmaceutical sales rep for almost two decades, and I had worked in restaurants through college and after college, and really worked at the most amazing restaurant throughout college down in Rehoboth called Chez La Mer. They had no can opener, no microwave. Everything was just done the right way. So that's always stuck with me throughout my whole life is there's really, there's a lot of ways to prepare food and serve it to customers, but real food is real food. And that was my impetus when I got laid off, essentially, from my pharmaceutical job, is to say, what do I really want to do with, the rest of my life? And it wasn't trying to get doctors to write drugs. I guess about the only thing I miss is the money, because I'm not making quite as much here, but the happiness factor is what it matters. I'm working harder than I ever have and making a little bit less money, but it's something that I'm really good at, and that makes me happy.
You've been listening to Out of the Blocks.
From radio producer Aaron Henkin and music producer Wendell Patrick.
With production assistance from field producer Eve Austin.
And WYPR's Katie Marquette.
You can podcast this series and check out photos online at WYPR.org/out of the blocks.
Aaron and Wendell want to thank all of us who took a leap of faith and share our stories and our lives.
From WYPR and PRX.
This is 1600 Soulgrave, signing off.
Signing off.
Signing off.
Coming up next time on Out of the Blocks, we are back kicking around in Baltimore's Mount Washington Village, where we'll visit a veterinary clinic, a long-standing tavern that survived a major fire, and a ceramics class at Baltimore Clay Works, where Sam Wallace teaches a pottery technique he learned when he was a kid in Jamaica.
So as you notice, I was coming this way, so now I'm going to open the bottom. My hand became a compass right here, so I'm opening the bottom. Just like this, going around.
So instead of the wheel spinning, you're spinning around the bucket.
You become the wheel.
Round we go next episode for another spin of Out of the Blocks. Thanks for listening, and we'll do it again soon. Out of the Blocks is supported by PRX and produced with grant funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Cohen Opportunity Fund, the Hofberger Foundation, Patricia and Mark Joseph Shelter Foundation, Inc., the Kenneth S. Batty Charitable Trust, the MuseWeb Foundation, and the William G. Baker Jr. Memorial Fund, creator of the Baker Artist Portfolios, online at bakerartist.org.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. From